Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. And no better place to start from again than Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We're talking about asking. And on all of these different things that the Lord has helped us learn so far, the concept of asking is really so powerful. The understanding of it is so crucial that I'm really thankful and excited that we can spend this time just going over one aspect to the other. And tonight we're going to do that again and just delve further and further and further to receive a lot of the instruction and understanding from the Word of God, where this all-important aspect of asking is concerned. Let's start out from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You've heard me call this the grandfather of scriptures regarding asking and receiving. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God takes pleasure in doing exceeding abundantly over anything that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. It is the Lord's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom. God wants to amaze us. He wants to give not just what we ask. What we ask is, that's like the basal level of what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Look at those words, exceeding abundantly. Exceeding abundantly. Oh, that is so exciting. Let's read a few more translations of this scripture, more versions of this scripture tonight before we move on. The basic Bible English says, "Now to him who is able to do in full measure," in full measure, "more than all our desires or thoughts, through the power which is working within us." I love it so much. I love it so very much. One of the things I love the most about it is it keeps emphasizing God does this exceeding abundantly through the power that is already at work, power that is already resident within us. And of course, if you read the preceding verses to verse 20 in Ephesians chapter 3, you're going to see where Paul is praying and praying for the believers that they may become strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in their inner man, that they might know the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God. And that's why that scripture is so powerful, is that everything the Lord is going to do in our lives is going to emanate not from the outside, but from the inside. It's going to be from the power that is already at work within us. That's why it is so important that we learn the secret of generating this inner power, because that power is what either limits or enhances the things that God seeks to do in our lives. That's why it's so important as believers, as saints of God, that we learn how crucial and how powerful the place of prayer really is. Let's look at the ISV. The ISV says, "Now to the one who can do infinitely more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is working among us." He can do infinitely more. God wants to do much more than anything we can ask for. That's why asking is so crucial. Asking gives him a basic minimum platform to work on. It gives him something to surpass. That's the basement, but he wants to build a tower on that basement. That's why asking is so crucial. Learning how to ask aright, how to ask properly, is so important, is so crucial. Hallelujah. God wants to do so much more than what we ask for. Remember, you've heard this before. Hashtag, we ask for so much less, but God gave us so much more. Oh, that is so powerful. That's just like music to my soul right there. Because that's our experience over and over and over again. I don't know about you, however long you've been interacting with God, you've been walking with Him, but this is what the Lord does all the time for His children. We ask for so much less, but He gives us so much more. And that makes it exciting. That makes our relationship with Him exciting, makes our prayer lives exciting. What a journey, what a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be able to share with us again tonight. Look at the Good News Bible. It says, to Him who by means of His power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. Amplified. Now to Him who by, in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly. Hallelujah. Don't you like that word? And do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That's what the Lord wants to do with us, saints. That's exactly what the Lord wants to do with us. Listen to how colorful it sounds in the message. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. I really like that He used request. Because, you know, we've been talking about asking, and we have learned the word ask has three components to it. If you've been joining us, you know that we have really been talking a lot about that. The word ask, the action of asking, actually has three components to it. The first one is articulate your request. Articulate your request. The second component, present it confidently. Present it confidently to the Lord, of course. And the third part, expect, have expectation of a favorable response. So I like the way the message puts Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will do infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Amen. Amen. In learning what asking is, as I just said, we've learned the three components to asking. We read the stories, examples of two people in the Gospels, the leper and the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, especially blind Bartimaeus, which we closed out our service with last week. Blind Bartimaeus was a man who had heard about Jesus in Mark chapter 10. And because he had heard so much about Jesus, faith was already so strongly built up in his heart. So that by the time he heard that Jesus was actually passing by, this Jesus he's heard so much about is actually passing by, he started to scream out, he started to cry out and to call on Him. And he didn't just cry out, he actually articulated, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Of course, the people around say, "Hey, shush, 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 shush. You're not that important. That's not why Jesus is here." But the man wouldn't quit. He wouldn't stop crying out. He wouldn't stop calling upon the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says he cried out even more. He cried out the more until he got the Lord's attention. And when he got the Lord's attention, the Bible says the Lord called. He said, "Bring him." and everybody say, okay, he's calling you. And before he comes to the Lord, he takes off his blind beggar's garment because he knows he's never going to need it again. He had expectation of a favorable response. He presented his requests and his desires. He presented it confidently. He articulated those requests. He made it clear to the Lord. When the Lord asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He didn't say, but you can see I'm a blind man. Can't you see I'm a blind man? What else does a blind man want? What else would a blind man need? He didn't say that. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He articulated it clearly. And the Lord said, be it unto you according, because your faith has made you whole. He says, go. And the Bible says he received immediately. He received his sight and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what it means to ask, to articulate our requests, to present it confidently, and to have expectation of a favorable response. Tonight, I want us to jump in. I have a few places I want us to go. I believe by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to touch on some very, very crucial, very important aspects of asking in this service tonight. You know, one of the most important things we can ask for in our journey as we go on in life and as we deal and as we go about the different things that the Lord has given us, one of the most important things we can ask for is wisdom. It is almost like wisdom is the door opener to every miracle that we would ever seek or ever need in our lives. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. How many times do we all get there? So many times. I have been there in my life, and I'm sure you have been. I say this often, and people who are close to me have heard me say this a lot. Someone somewhere will say, oh, I want to get you something. What do you need? And immediately the words out of my mouth are, oh, I don't need anything. Praise God. And it's not really like a prideful thing, or I'm trying to be cute or trying to be spiritual. It really is true. I say, no, I don't need anything. All my needs are met. Praise God. God is so good. I'm so thankful. There was a time I couldn't say that. And there was a time I could say it in faith and because I believed it. But then there's a time I actually, really, truly, I have to look deeply, look far and wide to be able to tell what needs I have. But I know that a few weeks ago, I actually had a need. I had a need or something we were working on, and that was going to make somebody's life better, and a member of our family, and it wasn't like it was so difficult to figure out what to do, but I just didn't know what preparations the Lord had made. I knew the Lord had made preparations. I knew the Lord had created a way around this situation. I just didn't know what it was. Have you ever been there before? Oh, I've been so many times. And I remember having this very close, intimate conversation with the Lord on a Saturday morning. For some reason, it became such a deep burden in my heart. Like, I was having this heart-to-heart chat with the Lord, and I was saying to him, Lord, I know there's nothing hard for you. And I mean, I can see so many different ways in which, you know, we can get this done and have this blessing for this person, or have, you know, whatever it is we need to do to make this person's life better. But Lord, I don't want us to just do any of the many. I want us to find the exact preparation you have made. Because I know you've made preparation. All of us know. God loves us so much. There's nothing that comes up in our lives that he hasn't already thought about. You know, God is several steps ahead of us. Long before we get to where we are, long before we get to where we think we're going, God's been there. And he's already prepared. He's made arrangements for us. He's worked on things long before we get there. I know that. You should know that. And so I remember having this conversation with the Lord, heart-to-heart conversation. Lord, I don't want us to just do anything, because we could do many things. I mean, we could do anything. But Lord, I want us to find the preparation you have made. You have made some preparation. You've made some provision. Because before we came here, you knew this need existed. You knew we would have to do something about it to help this person move forward. So show us what preparation. Because it became very personal for me. We asked for so much less. But God did so much more. I remember in that heart-to-heart prayer, one of the first things I was asking the Lord is, Lord, put your light on it. Shine your light on it. Let's see what it is that you have in mind, what you have prepared. Amen. Did you have conversations like this with the Father? I do all the time. I mean, because he sees what's in my heart anyways. He knows, so I might as well bring it forth and tell him about it, right? There's no point in being cute and using all these bogus thes and thous from the King James. Just come and tell the Lord what's going on, because he can see you dealing with it already. So just trust him enough and come discuss it with him. And he said, Lord, would you please give us your wisdom? Would you please show us? Would you please cause your light to shine on this situation? Folks, one of the greatest things every believer needs in their life is the wisdom of God. One of the most important things you and I will ever need in our lives is the wisdom of God. And we never run out of the need for wisdom, because we engage the wisdom of God in different things that we do in our life, but shortly after we engage the wisdom for that particular situation, we move to our next step, and right there, we're back where we were. We need wisdom again. We need direction. We need the light of God to shine. We're always going to need the wisdom of God. So I want us to start out tonight by reading in the book of James. And actually, the way I've put it down in my note is, ask for wisdom, ask for anything you need. The way I see it from the word, wisdom is a door opener. Sometimes we don't even know what we need God to do in that situation, like what I was just explaining to you. But wisdom, no wonder the Bible says the principal thing. Wisdom always opens the door. Wisdom always makes a way. Wisdom is the first miracle. It's just like light. When in creation, the first thing the Lord said, light be. It's like wisdom. Wisdom opened the door to everything else that needed to come together. And in all of our lives, every single day, we're going to need the wisdom of God. Learning to ask for wisdom is so crucial. Remembering to ask for wisdom. Remembering to present our need for wisdom. It doesn't matter whether you're a parent raising children, whether you're a professional with a career, whether you are a stay-at-home parent, mother, father, whether you're a student, whether you're a minister who's working in the ministry, you are a professional in the marketplace, you are someone who's in between statuses and trying to find your way. All of us need the wisdom of God. It's unfortunate that a lot of times many believers don't realize how much they need the wisdom of God, right? So let's read in James chapter 1. Let's read. I have places I need us to go tonight, and my time is running here. But I believe we needed that foundation. I needed to kind of share some of those things with you before we dive into the word. Say with me wherever you are. Say, I need the wisdom of God. And then say, I receive the wisdom of God by faith in Jesus' name. Let's say those two things again. I need the wisdom of God every day, today, every day. And I receive the wisdom of God today, every day, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when there are needs and situations in your life. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you, watch this now, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. Wisdom is usually one of the first things we need to learn to remember to always ask for. When we talk about the concept of asking, the PowerPoint of asking in prayer, which is made up of these three things, articulating your request, presenting it confidently, and having expectation for a favorable response. Asking for wisdom is one of the most crucial things that we need to do on an ongoing basis. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid, and it will be given unto him. The Amplifier says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching them or fault finding, and it will be given him. The wisdom of God will be made available to us. Do you know wisdom is that door opener that many times actually shows us where the miracle is? Wisdom is that light of God that actually directs us. I pray for the wisdom of God for you tonight. I articulate this prayer and I pray for the wisdom of God for you tonight. No wonder you do remember one of the two Pauline prayers in the book of Ephesians. The one in Ephesians chapter 1 was actually a prayer where he prayed for them to have the wisdom of God. He said in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, hallelujah, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He said, I pray for you that you may receive the spirit of wisdom. Make that confession with me again. I receive the spirit of wisdom in the name of Jesus. I receive revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding enlightened, so that I may know what I need to know. So I may know what I need to know. I may see what I need to see. And I may lay hold on everything that I need to lay hold of in Jesus' mighty name. Asking for wisdom. I want to encourage you to make that a practice of yours. Make it a daily routine. Asking for wisdom. Asking for wisdom. Asking in faith for wisdom. Because remember in James he says, but let them ask in faith. After he says you should ask if you lack, then he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is a wave of the sea driven around with the wind and tossed. So ask in faith. Make it a daily exercise. Remember, before you make that phone call, ask for wisdom. Remember, before you go into that meeting, ask for wisdom. Even things that you feel like you are proficient in doing, you are very good, you do them okay, you are great, ask for wisdom. Ask. make your request to the Lord for wisdom regularly and receive in faith. Because when wisdom comes, light comes. When wisdom comes, miracles flow. When wisdom comes, breakthroughs happen. Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom in your relationships. Some of us are trying so hard to deal with problems and deal with issues that relate with people, and we're a lot of time trying to figure it all out in our minds. And we're falling behind. A lot of times we're coming up short because we're not operating in the wisdom of God. We're relying on our natural minds. Train yourself to ask for wisdom. While we're talking about asking, the PowerPoint of asking, make wisdom one of the things you ask for regularly. And in faith, reach out and receive. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Ask for wisdom. Ask for anything you need. When you ask for wisdom and you receive wisdom, everything else begins to line up. Everything else begins to line up. You need wisdom for life. You need wisdom to succeed. You need wisdom for your relationships, for your in your family, with your children, with your parents, with your loved ones. You need wisdom for your ministry. You need wisdom for finances. You need wisdom for everything. So, ask for wisdom. Ask for everything. Ask for wisdom. Ask for everything. I want us to move on tonight. I want us to move on. I want us to look at a few we've read in the New Testament. A few ask scriptures. I want us to look at a few ask scriptures in the Old Testament. I picked a few of them because later on in our studies, I'm still going to come back and allude to quite a number of other ask scriptures in the Old Testament. But I just want to pick just a handful of them for the purpose of our studies tonight. I want us to look at the way they asked, the things that the Lord said to them in the Old Testament about asking, and actually one example of someone who asked, who actually asked God for help. Amen. So let's start with, we're going to look at a few examples here and a few scriptures, but this is just for us, I want us to see it in the Old Testament, because most of what we've done so far has been in the New Testament. But then I want to take you back to the New Testament. I want you to see how glorious what we have in the New Covenant is. I want you to see how amazing, how awesome what the Lord has given us through our New Covenant with God is. In the area of prayer, in the area of asking and receiving. Are you excited? I really am. Amen. So let's look at a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament where the Bible talks about asking. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. I actually want to read that if I can in a few translations here. Zechariah, you probably know this scripture, but I want to read a few versions of that scripture to you. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Look at what the King James says. Ask. As I start, ask. What are we learning? Ask. We're learning about asking in prayer. The PowerPoint of asking. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Ask. But I like the Basic Bible English translation actually captures these words that we've been talking about, one of the first components of asking. The BBE says, make your request. That's how it defines asking. Make your request to the Lord for rain in the time of spring rains, even to the Lord who makes thunder, makes the thunder flames, and he will give them showers of rain to every man grass in the field. I like it. I love it so much. Ask the Lord for rain. Ask the Lord for rain. Ask the Lord for rain. Amen. The Message translation says, pray to God for rain. It's time for the spring rain. To God, the rainmaker, spring thunderstorm maker, maker of grain and barley. He is the rainmaker. He said, ask, pray to God for rain. I like it. Pray to God for rain. Ask for rain. Make your request for rain. And it says that the Lord, who is the rainmaker, will cause rain to fall in our field. This is Old Testament, saints. This is Old Testament. The Lord gave them express platform. Ask, make your request, and the Lord will do it. Ask for rain. How much more in the New Testament? Ask for rain. Ask for anything. If you need rain, ask for it. Make your articulate that request. Lord, my ground is dry right now. I'm speaking to someone who is dealing with dry ground right now. Somebody who's going through a tough, a difficult stretch in their lives. Somebody who is dealing with such dryness, they don't know where the next raindrop is going to come from. The Lord is saying to you, ask. Don't think that is beyond God. Don't think, yeah, God is concerned about all these spiritual things, but I don't know that he's really particularly concerned about the dryness in my life. You kidding me? He said, ask for rain. Ask. If you ask God for rain, he will cause rain to fall on your field. Somebody say amen to that. Zechariah 10:1. In Psalm 2 verse 8, he actually said, ask me. He said, ask me for the heathen and the uttermost parts of the earth for your inheritance. Acts chapter 2, verse 8. Ask of me, he said, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Amen. Ask, he said. Ask. The Lord gave them a platform to ask. Jeremiah 33, like I told you, I just want you to see this Old Testament scriptures on asking. On asking. Jeremiah chapter 33. You know this scripture probably. It doesn't use the word ask, but is essentially referring to God's invitation to us to ask. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed you to establish it, the Lord is his name. Verse 3, call unto me. Call unto me, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. The Amplified says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things fenced in and hidden, which you did not know, you do not distinguish, recognize, have knowledge of, or understand. This very much reminds me of the scripture we read in James. Ask him for the hidden things. Bible says the hidden things belong to God. The things that are revealed, he reveals to us and to our children. Well, he says, ask me for the things that I seek to reveal. Amen. And then he says, I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Ask, ask. Now, this king in the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat was his name. He actually came under a major assault from the enemies of the nation of Israel. And he had a major campaign where he cried out to God and asked for help. I want us to read just a few verses of that story. Again, what are we doing? I just want you to see the concept of asking in the Old Testament. And then I want to take you right back to the New Testament, because there's something super exciting about it that I want to share with you tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and verses 1 to 5, let's read that. He said, it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonite, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. The enemies of the nation of Israel came against this king to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." So people came and reported to him, and they told him there's a build-up. There's something going on, and it's huge. It's really huge. This is not one of those little. This is big. And the moment Jehoshaphat heard it, like any of us, like any natural human being, fear gripped him. The Bible says Jehoshaphat feared in verse 3. And immediately he set himself to seek the Lord. I love that. Immediately he set him. Now, the armies were coming against him. He definitely needed multidimensional miracles. But the first thing he did was he set himself to seek the Lord. I guess he's going to ask for help and he's going to ask for wisdom from the Lord. Here, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They gathered themselves to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, to ask help of the Lord. Let me say to someone tonight, no matter what it is we're dealing with, no matter what it is we're going through, the very first thing, the very first place to go is before the Lord, asking him for help. You know, sometimes we make this mistake of running all around, trying to do our thing, trying to make, you know, find a way to work things out, to find answers and find solution. Then when we've tried everything, as a last resort, many times, believers will say, well, I better pray. As a last resort. And sometimes, while we're running around trying to do all of these different things, we actually complicate situations more. The Lord is having me minister to some people tonight. I don't know who it is. But the Lord, I can sense it in my spirit right here. Because there are very specific things that he's having me address. And they're specifically targeted towards certain people and certain situations. I don't know them in the natural. Sometimes people run around. They go everywhere trying to find answers, trying to find solutions to their problems. And then finally they say, you know, oh, as a last resort, please pray for me. Please pray. And sometimes in doing all of this runaround, we've actually complicated our situations to the point where it's now more difficult than it was when we first of all started. Oh, saints, this is the wisdom of God. Would you please remember that the first thing we ought to do is go to the Lord in prayer? Would you remember this, please? That the very first thing, no matter what it is, before you call that next person, before you do anything about this situation, would you please get before the Lord? Remember at the beginning of this service tonight, I shared with you this intimate heart-to-heart conversation I had with the Lord. Would you cultivate that habit of having these ongoing intimate conversations with the Lord that involve asking him for his help, that involve asking him for his wisdom, that involve asking him to shine his light on the situations you are dealing with? See, what's the use of running all over town, expending all your energy, spending all the money you don't have to start with, and then when you are all drained and you've lost everything, then you come back and say, Lord, help me. Well, it's never too late to ask the Lord for help, but why, you might as well have asked at the beginning. Ask. Start out by asking. Amen. Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah, they gather themselves to ask help of the Lord. Now, the rest of the story, you probably know. If you've read this before, I have just a few minutes to go here. But if you read the rest of the story, suddenly God came through for them. God gave them light. He gave them wisdom. Then Jehoshaphat arranged the army. He had praise singers go ahead of the army when they went to battle. God sent them a prophetic word, says, this battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. That's what somebody is supposed to be hearing tonight. Somebody somewhere. The Lord is saying to you, this battle is not yours. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, whatever your name is. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. This is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. It's what the Lord is saying. And you know, when they did what the Lord said to do, they went into that battle. The Bible tells us, God went out and fought for them. Remember, all this happened because they asked. They articulated their request. If you read the prayer of Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah, you see there in the leading verses up to where we are right now. They articulated their request. Hallelujah. And because they did, in verse 22, the Bible says, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. The Lord sent ambushment. I see the Lord setting ambushments against enemies of your progress, enemies of the blessings and the increase and the life that God has made available to you. I see God causing your primary enemy, Satan himself, I see God causing him to be humiliated in your situation. In the name of Jesus, do you receive that? The Lord rose and fought for them because they asked. Because they asked. And then suddenly the enemies, they began to fight themselves. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. You know what? I was going to rush and go take you into the New Testament. Tonight, I'm sensing in my spirit to just camp out here and close out here. It's not going to be long at all, but I don't want us to miss what the Holy Spirit is giving us here tonight. I'm going to go back and actually read this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for rushing through that. I want you to go back with me and let's read verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. Oh, I'm loving it. They moved from praying, asking, seeking, to worshiping, to praising. You know, that's the progression of the promise That's the progression of victory. Even though I wasn't planning to talk about that tonight. But that's what they did. That's the progression of victory. They started out asking, seeking, but then they switched to worshiping the Lord. The leader of the entire nation fell on his face before the Lord. And everybody joined in, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Because praise gives wings to your prayers, to our prayers. Praise unleashes the heavenlies. You remember the story of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? When they had come under this great persecution and they had whipped them, their backs were bleeding, and suddenly in the prison, they started to praise God and They started to pray and to praise God. I don't know what they were praying. I don't know what they asked. But obviously, they articulated certain requests in their prayers. And as they were praying and as they were praising God, suddenly, the Lord came and visited. I pray that the Lord visit with you. Wherever you are under the sound of my voice tonight, you and your family, you and your loved ones, you and the things that concern you, I pray that the Lord will arise as a mighty man of war and he will visit with you. That the Lord will cause your enemies to come against one another. Every evil, every attack, every difficulty, that the Lord will cause those things to turn their sword towards one another and give you the victory in every situation of life that you deal with. They move from asking and seeking to worshiping and to praising. And they started lifting up their voices, loud voice on high, to praise God. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, the leader of the nation, he stood and he said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." He got light. He got light. "Hear me," he said, "O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Believe. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe in his servants. Believe in his prophets. Believe in this prophetic word coming to you tonight. Believe in this prophet that is speaking to you tonight. Believe. Because that's the way you'll be established and that's the way you'll prosper. Hallelujah. I know we're talking about asking and prayer. But hey, the Holy Spirit is having me say these words to you tonight without a plan, without being previously planned. Believe the Lord your God. Believe the Lord your God. And believe his prophets. Believe the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe his prophets. And you will prosper. You will prosper. Amen. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." That should be your song tonight. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Somebody is listening to me tonight. This should be your song tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No matter how difficult that situation seems. Praise the Lord. No matter how convoluted and twisted and complicated it appears. Praise the Lord, for his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when they began to sing and to praise, verse 22, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were smitten. Everything that has risen against you, all those giants will be smitten before your face. All those Egyptians will drown in the Red Sea in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord invaded our prayer meeting tonight and turned it to a prophetic meeting. Whenever the sound out of this service goes forth, whenever the sound goes forth to the earth, something will happen on the behalf of God's people. Something will happen on behalf of God's people. Something will happen. I declare that to you tonight. Something will happen on behalf of God's people. Something will happen on your behalf. Something will happen on your behalf. In Jesus' mighty name. Say, I receive that. Say, I receive it. I receive it. I believe it and I receive it. I believe it and I receive it. He said, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. The man of war arose and fought their battle. There were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves. It's your day of riches. It's your day of precious jewels. This is your day of abundance. You are crossing over. You are crossing over. You are crossing over. Hallelujah. More than they could carry away. And they spent 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. It will be so much. I declare it will be so much for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be so much. You will not have enough time to gather it all. It will be so much. You will spend all this time, days and days gathering, but it will still be much left over. It will be so much. It will be so much. And nobody will contest it with you. God will make your life go from night to day, supernaturally, in the name of Jesus. Supernaturally. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beraka unto this day. The Valley of Beraka is the Valley of Blessings. The Amplified says, on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka. There they blessed the Lord. So the name of the place is still called the Valley of Beraka, the Valley of Blessings. God will change that valley of dead bones and the valley of dry bones, and he will convert it supernaturally into a valley of blessings for you. In the name of Jesus. Would you just bless the Lord with me tonight? Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name. Thank you for your word. We believe you, so we are established. We believe your prophet, so we prosper. We thank you, Father, for the anointed word that you've spoken to us. We receive everything you have declared. We give you the glory and the praise. I speak life over my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone in their circle of influence, everyone in their household. I call the Valley of Beraka in the name of Jesus, the Valley of Blessings in the name of Jesus. I call the blessings of favor, the blessings of life, the blessings of grace, the blessings of glory upon their lives tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we honor you. We love you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen.